Hi, I'm Serena.
And I'm Rachel.
We're the hosts of Book Tales.
If you like reading books,
drinking cocktails,
and Scottish accents,
then meet your new favourite podcast.
Come with us as we explore different themes from romanticy to horror and everything in between.
We pair each book with a bespoke cocktail and tell you everything you'll need to make one.
And each week, play our fun game tailored to each book.
Find Book Tales wherever you get your podcasts. So grab your book.
Grab your booze.
For Book Tales.
Hi guys, I'm Bree.
And I'm Allie. This is Off Script.
If you think about it, books are potential scripts for movies.
When this adaptation happens, typically it's disappointing because they went off script.
In this series, we will be talking about how off script they went. Hello.
Hi.
Welcome.
To Off Script.
A podcast where we
compare the books to their movies.
Today we're doing The Host, but first I'm Bree.
I'm Allie. And The Host. We got Stephanie Meyer back here.
Mm-hmm. Too bad it's not with Rob.
I know.
I wish.
Could you imagine? What if she's just like, you know how Tim Burton like just cast
loves Johnny?
Yeah. That was her. Robert Pattinson,
I would be A-okay. I mean, Stephanie, keep writing books. Write more, please.
Well, guys, I guess our paint our picture is we are Zooming or Adobe-ing this meeting. Not meeting.
This episode.
Yes.
Yeah. I'm dog sitting.
And my dog is a little piece of work that screwed up our original recording day.
Yeah.
She tried to unalive herself, but it's okay. I'm not okay, but she's okay, I guess.
I know, yeah, this week has been a hard week, everyone. So
everyone, for like both of us, it's been traumatic, yeah. I swear.
It's been the worst week I've had in a long time.
Yeah. I saw your mom at the zoo today.
Yeah, was she good?
Yeah, she was doing fine. I got her a coffee.
Oh, that's sweet of you.
I mean, she asked for it, and I was like, yeah, I can get it. And then she tried to pay me one. She tried to give me a 20. And I'm like, your drink was like the total of my drink and Tyler's cake pop along with your drink was $20. So what are you doing? And I was like, no, it's because your week has sucked. Yes, it has. And then she tells me about it. So life is hard.
Life stinks, man.
It does.
Sometimes it's good. Sometimes it's not.
Yeah, but you know what? We're here to entertain you today. So let us not.
Let us not make your day suck because we're.
But I guess look at us. We're here to entertain. And so even though life does suck sometimes, we
show up.
Power through and we show up. Yeah.
It's all you can do.
Exactly. But anyways, shall we get going? Or you got any other pictures you want to paint?
I don't know. I was like, there was something I was going to say on this podcast. The house that I'm house sitting, I've talked about before, everyone, because it's the 21 Jump Street house.
Woo-hoo!
I'm
so excited.
I'm like, now I'm going to be going to bed like earlier every night just so I can watch some episodes.
You're like, oh, 8 o'clock, bedtime.
Bedtime. The dogs are going to be like, what the hell, lady?
Bedtime. We don't go to bed for another 3 hours. What are you talking about?
Yeah. But we gotta go potty still. Yeah. I gotta watch baby Johnny. Sorry.
That's funny. Okay, you guys. So we're on season 4, episode 24. It is the final episode of the season. Besides our recap. Yay!
We did it.
I'm so proud of us.
Me too. It's an accomplishment.
I agree. All right. So let's dive in with a synopsis.
But also,
oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Let's talk about how it's been 4 seasons. That's insane.
I know. It hasn't felt like it because we released these two at the same time, but it's like we've done 4 seasons. And we give, like, besides season 3, we give, like, you know, 2099 type of seasons where you get a full 20-something episodes, not these, like,
yeah,
10 episodes. Like, they give us
episodes for you.
we do the work.
I actually just saw a meme today that was like, apparently the thing that people are asking on whatever Twitter is called now is, what's your boomer complaint? And one of them was, I miss TV shows that actually gave me 20 plus episodes in a season.
I know. It's like even like not streaming TV shows, but like say Grey's Anatomy. It's
yeah.
Like they do like, you know, September, October, and then they take November, December, January off.
Mm-hmm.
And then they do, you know, April, March, maybe some May. I'm like, what?
I love that you just said April and then March.
Yeah, that's where my brain's at today, you guys.
But yeah, I know. It's insane. And I think the break schedule for TV shows came because of the pandemic, but you'd think they'd go back to that. But it's like, it's so hard because now everyone, not just Hollywood, but like everyone's so accustomed to like work from home and all of that. So
I know
people have to accommodate. And so then our entertainment gets screwed.
Bummer.
Mm-hmm.
That's okay. Well, you know, it's like it gets screwed, but there's so much more than there was back, you know, 15 years ago. Like, having streaming services where I can watch like
anything
12, 13, 14, 15 different shows that I want to at one time.
Yeah.
Overwhelming too. So, I mean, I guess it's okay.
I almost feel like that's probably why I've stopped watching TV, because there's just too much to watch at this point in time.
I miss like stressful.
I just keep going back to my regulars. I'm like Gilmore Girls, Friends.
I know.
Jump Street.
I know. I was just, what was it? It was, Modern Family was on TV when I turned it on the other day. And I was like, I haven't watched the show in forever. So I sat down and watched them. I was like, I need to rewatch this whole season. As I have, you know, my, yours is your Tubi Red books or Tubi, whatever they're called.
Yeah.
Tubi Red. And mine's the TV shows. Like, I keep being like, I'll add that one and that one and that
TBW.
One.
TBW.
Yeah.
I know, it's hard now because, like, John loves TV. And so when we have our dinner and we watch a show and we finish a show, it's hard because, like, there's so many shows that he wants to watch. And some of them sound interesting to me, but some of them I'm like, that does not. Like, I'll watch it until I'm done eating and then I'll be bored.
Yeah.
And then I'm like, and then we sit there for like an hour just trying to figure out what we're gonna watch. And that's annoying too. This is also why I hate streaming services, because I hate having to sit down and figure out what I actually want to watch.
I know, that does make it hard. You gotta find a season that's like 15 or a show that's like 15 seasons long, and then you're committed for a long time, like Supernatural. Just start Supernatural.
Oh, that's hilarious. Oh my
gosh.
Apparently we had more of a picture.
I guess we did. So, our synopsis. Earth has been colonized by the Souls, an alien race that wipes out the minds of humans and turns their bodies into hosts for its interstellar travelers. Most of mankind has been eradicated, but some, like Melanie and her family, have survived and are in hiding. Melanie is captured by a seeker and has a soul named Wanderer implanted in her body, but she refuses to relinquish control. When Wanderer betrays her people to save Melanie, the seeker sets out in relentless pursuit. That's more of a movie one. That last line there.
Yeah, that's for sure.
The rest of it matched, I would say, but that last line was, I should have deleted that.
I would also say, I don't like how they call him a host for the interstellar travelers, because the whole purpose that the Souls even go to a planet is because they want to make the planet a better place. and like they see all the conflict that is on the earth. And they're like, well, we could do it better. We should go there and fix it, and then we'll bounce out.
Oh.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. That one just makes it sound like they're trying to snatch bodies and live there.
Yeah, it does. I mean,
the movie doesn't really show that very well. But
no,
like,
not so much.
The book explains that.
Yeah. Okay. Well, our author is Stephanie Meyer. Director, Andrew Nicole. Screenplay writer is also Andrew Nicole.
Oh, wow.
Audiobook reader is Kate Reading. And it's a bummer her last name is Reading because she did not read very well.
Oh, no. Really?
Well, she read it fine. I just didn't like her. And I feel like that was a partial reason I have feelings for this book that I said. But I'm sure everybody got my feelings right away.
Yep. Yeah, that definitely the audiobook readers make it or break it, unfortunately.
But there were other reasons I have feelings, and we'll get to those at the end. Okay. So the book came out May 6, 2008. The movie March 29, 2013. That's a 5-year difference. Yeah. So what'd you do first?
I read it first.
Me as well. No, I didn't. Mm-hmm. I watched it first. Just kidding.
Like, wait. You're like, yep, me too. I did too.
Feels like I did. Oh, you guys. Okay, so as remembered, we were supposed to do this episode in April, I think. Somewhere around there.
I think so.
But I...
When was spring break?
The first week in April. Yeah, it was like the next week. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Guys, I just couldn't finish it in time. It was a 23-hour book, and I just couldn't finish it in time. So that's why we bumped it and moved it. But I watched it way back then. So felt like I watched or read it first. Anyways. And then we just rewatched it.
Yeah, we did.
Yeah.
Because I finished reading and watching it way back in March, end of March, beginning of April.
Mm-hmm.
And so then I was like, oh yeah, I should refresh myself.
Yep. Cool, cool. What are your thoughts about this story?
I enjoy it. I like it.
Why?
Because I like the tension between Melanie and Wanderer. And then I like how their relationship unfolds.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I can see, I guess.
Mm-hmm. I like that mainly. And I like the, like, how they at first don't like each other because the other one is, you know, foreign to them and Melanie's pissed because she wants her body. But then they slowly start to learn, like, oh, humans are amazing. Why are we trying to, like, make them better? Like, how they are is good. And then Melanie's like, wow, the hosts or the souls aren't all bad. It's just that they don't understand things quite like we do.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Sure. I just thought it was just an odd I thought it had potential, and eventually it sort of ish got there for me. Like, there was still some things that I was like, that's a weird choice, but okay. But, I was bummed. I was really excited for it, and then I was like, oh, okay. But I think there's a specific reason, and I will say that at the end.
Okay. Sounds good.
So why did we pick it?
Because it's Stephanie Meyer, and we did Twilight, so I was like, all right, let's do her other book. And I knew that there were some differences here that I wasn't okay with.
Mm-hmm.
So I knew this would probably be a fun one.
Yeah. And this and Twilight, right, are the only two that she's...
had adapted, yeah.
Yeah, okay, cool.
Unfortunately.
How many other books has she written?
Just The Chemist. So
one other.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. So there's still a chance.
There is. I would be thoroughly excited if that one got turned into a movie. That would be such a good one to see.
I have not read it, so I don't know. All right, let's keep going. So we have Allie's super fun facts. So author Stephanie Meyer is a fan of Gattaca?
Gattaca, yeah.
Uh-huh. And The Truman Show. And Andrew Ooh. Nicole, who was involved in those movies, wrote and directed this movie.
That's really cool.
Yeah. I'm glad you like that because there were like no fun facts. And
so you just kind of like
bottom of the barrel fun facts for y'all this time. Okay. So Jake Abel previously auditioned for the role of Edward Cullen.
What? I didn't know that. Oh, weird. I wonder if she then, when they were making this, was like, hey, I liked him.
I don't know. Maybe that's why Rob's not in it. She wanted to give Jake a turn.
Damn. Although that's a good question. Who would I want Rob to be in this? Would I want him to be Jared or would I want him to be Ian?
I don't know. Well, are you team Jared or are you team Ian?
I'm team Ian. I like Ian. Like, it's funny because there's no, in this one, there's no team so-and-so and so-and-so because it's like two their love interests are strictly two different people just right. in the same body.
Just so
but I know it's very weird. That's another thing that I didn't like about the marketing for this movie, because they're like, okay, it's Stephanie Meyer, and so last time it was team Jacob, team Edward, so this one's gotta be team Jared or team Ian.
Is that what they tried to do?
I think that's another reason why it also kind of flopped, because again, people go into that then, if you're going to promote it like that, thinking that there's a love triangle, and there's really not a love triangle.
Not really. Yeah. No. We do it. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
All right then. Then let's see. Oh, Shiloh Fernandez had originally auditioned for Jared before Max Iron was cast. Both had previously collaborated in Red Riding Hood, which was directed by Catherine Hardwicke, who also made Twilight.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, Fernandez also auditioned for Edward Cullen.
Whoa. Oh, this poor dude.
Yeah.
I don't even know who Shiloh Fernandez is.
I don't either. Let me scroll down. Let me see in our fun fact, or in my cast, if it says.
Oh, he's a good-looking dude.
He's not even big enough for me to have put him as one of the casts. Who is he?
Oh, he's not in the movie. He got... Max Irons got his role.
Oh, he just auditioned for it. I thought he got his role. Okay.
No. He was in Red Riding Hood.
I see. Yep.
Yeah. I like Max, so...
That's because you like Scar.
That's a big part of it.
All right, so as the Seekers wear completely white clothing throughout this movie, including the desert sequences, it was a tedious process for the costume designers and makeup artists to constantly clean the clothes whenever they became dirty, which was very often.
What's hilarious? I almost said something about this when we were watching the movie the other day, and I was like, this is stupid. Why am I thinking like this? But I was looking at her in the desert and I was like, damn, she's wearing all white. That must be a pain in the butt for the makeup department.
Yes, it was. All right. Saoirse Ronan, okay. Patterned her voice as Wanderer after Jane Fonda.
That's funny.
Bottom of the barrel pickings for y'all, but I gotcha five. So...
Yeah, I do know she probably had the toughest part in this, obviously, because she had to be two characters.
She had twice as many lines as everybody.
Twice as many lines. She had to, you know, figure out who Melanie was and play Melanie, and then had to figure out who Wanderer was and play Wanderer.
Right.
And then not get them mixed up.
Yeah, it's too much work. I would have no patience for that.
Yeah.
All right. So... That's it. You ready?
Yeah, let's do it.
Okay. I guess book starts first. So we kick off. No, we don't. Does it?
Not really.
Not really. You want to go?
Like, yeah, I'll go. Because we start off with Melanie before she's caught. And this is something that Wanderer remembers later in the book, not too much later, but during one of her therapy sessions. And basically she's running from Seekers, and in the book how she tries to kill herself essentially so that the Seekers can't put a soul in her is she throws herself down an elevator shaft, but in the movie she jumps out a window.
Yes, she does.
I think it's so stupid because I feel like an elevator shaft, like there's a bunch of like mechanical stuff down there, so you'd more likely actually do have more deed. Success. Yeah.
Yes, that's fair. Well, the book kicks off in a surgical room, and these people are putting this creature, which we find out is a soul, into a person. And they said this creature, the soul, has been to 7 planets and many different, in many different creatures. And they wished Wanderer, which is its name, good luck.
Well, actually, so first off, they don't have names. They just kind of...
Oh, they called her Wanderer because she's been on 7 planets.
Yeah, exactly. And the her healer who put her in named her. And one thing that drives me crazy in the movie is... the doctor who put the soul in her is like, what's your name? And she's like, Wanderer. I'm like, you're not named yet, chick.
Shut your mouth.
Basically.
Got it. Well, then she just spends the next little bit exploring her new body and all these sensations, and she realizes she's not alone. The original girl named Melanie is still in her brain and alert. She's supposed to go, like, goodbye, no more contact, and she's not, she's there.
It doesn't happen like this in the movie, but this happens.
Yes. So the thing that was I forgot about was this book has so much detail, you guys. I legit so after every chapter, you know, I do my little voice notes, and it's like it was like a half an hour chapter. And those are usually when I do my voice notes, they scribe like a page worth of text on my notes. So I, in the end, it's a rough, I have a page to a half a page of note for each chapter. And this book had 60 chapters. I was like, oh my gosh, I'm going to have 60 pages of notes. Legit. It's like a half hour chapter as read. She's exploring her body. Melanie is still there. Like, it was like so much detail. I was like, all right. It took me like no time at all to edit all these notes. I was like, this is the best.
This is easy. I know. The thing, I was just thinking that because I'm looking at your notes on my end. And I was like, the thing about this is like so much of it is in her monologue that is not done in the movie. Like the first few chapters, I feel like, or at least the first two are her in the hospital, whereas her in the hospital is a quick little like, oh, what's your name, Wanderer, and then it's there, she's all in her room in her little apartment all set up,
right? Different.
Yep. Not much detail in the movie.
Nope. All right, so the Seeker and the healer are pretty snappy with each other, which is not normal for souls. They're usually very mellow and calm and understanding. And Wanderer went through her host's memories, and she found out that Melanie is looking for her family.
So, in the movie, the Seeker and the Healer aren't snappy with each other. The Seeker's basically just snappy with everyone. She is not what a soul should be. And the Seeker somehow knows that Melanie is looking for her family, and so wants Wanderer to find her family.
Yes. All right, well, let's see. So, Wanderer found out some information about her host and stuff that's going on in the world. A different host attacked a healer because his body, his host body, took over. So, like, that, so she's starting to freak out a little bit because she's like, oh my gosh, is that going to happen to me? And she's sharing the memories she's learning about Melanie. And we apparently they're part of the resistance.
in the movie, basically, she does not find out information about her host and the world that's going on. And she doesn't find out about the host that attacked a healer. But, oh, the other thing I want to make mention of, too, is in the book, Wanderer goes to, they call it a comforter, but basically it's a therapist. And the therapist is there to kind of help Wanderer adjust into this body and, like, knows is, like, your old host might be there, might be talking to you, but that should go away at some point. If it gets worse, tell me, blah, blah, blah. Mm-hmm. And the comforter is who Wanderer is supposed to be talking to. But in the movie, it's all the seeker that she's mm-hmm. telling this to.
Yeah. Okay. So then Wanderer has a dream of Melanie. And Melanie has met this boy named Jared. And while they're on there, they were off on their own, and once Jared found out she was a human, he kissed her, like, oh my gosh, thank goodness, and she slapped him. And mm-hmm. but they ended up teaming up, and when Wanderer woke up, she emailed the dream to the seeker, and Melanie freaked out inside her head.
So this kind of happens, except for Wanderer wakes up and goes to draw Jared, and Melanie throws the pen out of Wanderer's hand, which is not something she's supposed to be able to do.
Not at all.
No. In the book, she makes multiple mentions of, oh, I wish I could do this. And, like, Wanderer will be like, are you trying to make me move my hand right now?
Right. Like, there's a little tingle, but you can't do anything.
Yeah. Nope. In the movie, she full-on had control.
Mm-hmm. So Wanderer is in a meeting, as Bree said, with the calmer, the therapist, and she's talking about her life and how her host missed Jared, and she also learns about her calmer's life a little bit. And once the calmer found out how much trouble Melanie is in, she insisted that they get her a new host and they terminate this one, which really scared the Wanderer and Melanie, because, you know, they're both sort of starting to like each other a little bit. And Wanderer, or more so, like, I guess that would be a more so Wanderer starting to.
I was going to say, I think Wanderer is more so, she's enjoying being a human, and also she doesn't want to, because she knows once she gets taken out of this body, they're going to send her to a different planet. And she's like, wait, I actually, like, I'm enjoying the sensations and the feelings that I'm getting on this planet. And she doesn't want to be someone who's given up.
Got it.
She would see that as giving up.
Right. So Wanderer chooses no. Oh, yep, because she didn't want to be weak. And mm-hmm. she likes to feel Melanie's body, just like Bree just said. I should have just finished my notes right there.
I got you. I didn't even read your notes. I was, I was like, hold up. Yeah, that doesn't happen in the movie.
No, not at all.
Fortunately.
They don't even, like, suggest leaving her body, do they?
No. It's Wanderer who's just like, okay, I'm going to take you to my healer and we're going to get this sorted out.
Yeah.
Like, what? I'm like, no, you want to be a human, Wanderer. Right. I don't know why you're trying to go take her to your healer.
Yes, nice try, but no, okay.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so then Melanie runs off from the calmers because she's, like, freaking out. And she's trying to get rid of the seeker because she doesn't trust her either. And we learn about this war that's happening between the hosts and the aliens on different worlds and stuff. So then, if you got nothing... Wanderer.
What I do want to say, because I think we're not going to make mention of it, because Melanie does very good. Melanie, throughout the book, keeps her little brother Jamie completely shut off from Wanderer while Wanderer's going to her therapy sessions and all of this. Like, Jared slipped through the crack on accident because Melanie was also asleep, and so Melanie was also dreaming of Jared.
Right.
But she kept Jamie under wraps. Whereas in the movie, the first thing we see after Wanderer wakes up is her telling the Seeker she has a little brother named Jamie.
Yeah, that's true. Oh, poor Jamie.
Yeah. Getting outed right away.
I know. So, Wanderer was teaching her class because she's a teacher, because she's been on so many worlds. And the Seeker is in her class too, because she's following her everywhere. And Wanderer asks her to stop following her. But Seeker's like, it's my job to make sure that you know all of the information. So I have to keep following you so I can tell you. And Wanderer is going to Chicago, where the healer is. So, because she just needs to talk to him
about this host body, and I don't, she doesn't know what to do about Melanie, and she needs to talk to the guy who put Melanie in.
So basically, the movie has to add drama, and so it's so hard. I'm like, what am I gonna say? How am I gonna do this? Basically, when Wanderer told the Seeker about Jamie, she then also saw these mountain, what are they called? Mountain ranges. Uh-huh. And was like, oh, I know, that's where I gotta go. And she drew it out, but then she decided to tear it up and not tell the Seekers about it. So she tears it up, puts in the trash can, because, you know, that's smart. The Seeker won't find it there.
Right.
Basically, Melanie goes and is contemplating things by this nice little, like, creek, river, lake thing. And the Seeker comes up and is talking to her and is like, I need you to get out all the information that you can. Wanda's getting upset. But then Melanie starts strangling the Seeker.
Yep.
So then Wanderer is like, holy crap, we can't do this. This is crazy. And then, or wait, no, because then after that, the Seekers are like, oh, you're unstable, we can't do this, and they lock her up. And so they lock her up in her apartment, basically, with guards outside. And Wanderer is like, this is not okay, I don't like this. And so that's why she decides to run. Mm-hmm. Not because she wants to go to this healer. She decides that as they're on the run. Mm-hmm. And then basically, to get away from the Seekers, Melanie takes control of the body and is like, we have to lock the door like this, and we have to jump off the window like this.
And then, yeah, she jumps out into, like, the pond or something like that, a pool.
Yeah, like a fountain in the, yeah, like, apartment hotel thing. Yeah.
Right. Right.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So, Wander and Melanie take off in a car and to go to Chicago, and the Seeker decides to fly there. Okay, so they get to Arizona, and Wander is kind of listening in on all the memories that Melanie is having, and it's of her and Jared, how much she loves this boy, and she's known him for 29 days, and how much she wants to sleep with him, even though he's 26 and she's 17, and he's like, I can't, that's illegal, and she's like, no, that's stupid, we're, like, the only humans left, it's fine. And I just, that's the only detail I really kept in this whole book, because I'm like, what is it with Stephanie Meyer making the young girls want to sleep with the
old dudes? Oh, that's hilarious.
I was like, oh my gosh. Oh my gosh. Anyways, yep.
So basically, one of my notes is, because in the book, the Seeker is basically like, you're not getting the information we need. We need to get you out so that a stronger soul can get in and get out what we need. And so that's part of why they're going to the healer to get swapped. But in the movie, it's Melanie being like, maybe you should just take me to a healer. And she's like, okay, I'll take you. And then Melanie does distract Wanderer with memories.
Mm-hmm.
And so that basically happens, except for the fact that the Seeker is not flying with them because they just ran away from the Seeker.
Right. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. So, so they keep driving, and Melanie lets Wander into a memory, and it has her dad's family, and they have a bunker in the mountain, like this mountain landscape. Melanie's freaking out because she doesn't want Wanderer to hurt her family. So she did not mean for her to see that. She's like, please keep this a secret. And at first she agrees with Melanie and asks, or at first she's like, yeah, I got to tell them. And Melanie's like, well, what good will that do you? And that kind of made her think about it. Like,
Because then she's like, oh shit, they'll take me out. Yeah, that doesn't happen in the movie.
Right.
Nope, because they're already on their way to the family.
Yes. So then they keep going,
and they stop at a convenience store to grab a map and some food. And Melanie is determined to get to her family now so that so that Wander has no chance to turn her in.
So in the movie, they don't go to a convenience store to grab supplies for, you know, trekking in the desert. And instead, after the memories that Melanie has shown Wander, Melanie and Wander basically get in a, like, I don't want to call it a fight, but it's essentially a fight because Wander is like, you distracted me. You did this on purpose. And Melanie's like, well, duh.
Right.
And then Wander tries to turn the car around, but then Melanie's like, no. So then they crash the car.
A big crash, too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, a large crash, which does not at all happen in the book.
Nope. Instead, in the book, what happens is Wander and Melanie, eventually they just run out of gas. So,
yeah.
And then they have to walk. So they start walking in the heat, and they found a little shack, and it has some crackers and water in it. They eat a bit, and then they continue until they find the mountains, but they basically die because of heat exhaustion. But then here comes Uncle Jeb.
So they wander the desert in the movie, but they don't come across a shack. They just end up going to a tree and laying under the tree. And I'm also pretty positive in the book, Uncle Jeb found them at night because everyone that's in this little hidey hole with Jeb, they only ever do anything at night.
Yeah.
Whereas in the movie, it was broad daylight.
Right. Like middle of the day. They
didn't
seem to be scared of hosts.
No.
Or
let's have a group of like six of us out in the middle of the day to find this person.
Right. So nobody obviously wants to keep Wander alive. Uncle Jeb wouldn't let them kill her though. So Melanie wanted to say, hey, I'm in here. But Wander's like, no, they're not going to believe you. And they put a blindfold on her to walk to the compound. And at the compound, there was Jared. And he punches Wander in the face and Jeb calms him down. And then Jamie's also alive. And Wander is locked up. And Jared's keeping watch.
Basically, this happens except for one thing I wish that the movie did a little bit better was I wish Wanderer actually, like, told Melanie, we can't go telling everyone that you're here because they're not going to believe you or believe us. They're going to think that I'm trying to fool them because Wanderer is very adamant about keeping that under lock and key, whereas in the movie, she just kind of let Melanie like sit there and be like, we need to tell them, oh my god, they don't know, they can't see me, they don't know it's me.
Yeah, I just remember it being opposite, right? So Melanie wanted to say, and then but Wander said no in the book versus Wander was gonna say in the movie, but Melanie said mm-hmm. no, they aren't gonna believe you. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Why?
Yeah. Ridiculous. I'm like, souls aren't, they almost in the movie want to make the souls dumb, whereas to me in the book the souls are like brilliant beings. They've lived on so many different planets, so they have a little bit more experience than we do.
Right.
Even though the souls don't have a bad bone in their body and can't lie, but you know, they just kind of understand things a little bit better.
Definitely. So a fight broke out because two brothers, Ian and Kyle, went and tried to kill Wander. Jared was there and protected her, though. And then Jeb came and said, if she's going to die, it has to be Jared's choice because she's in Melanie's body and Melanie was Jared's.
I'm upset that the movie doesn't do that.
I know. Like, what did
Jeb never said that? Yeah. An easy thing that would have... I mean, I guess it doesn't, like, add to the story, but it definitely... It made more sense and it made people stop and think. And then it put a lot on Jared because then Jared was like, well, shoot, I can't kill her, but I want to.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. But apart from that, everything else happened.
All right. So Wanderer was shown around the place, and she found Jamie, and she just wanted to give him a big hug. Jamie and her talked a little bit, and they shared how Melanie tried to kill herself so that she didn't become a host, and Jared's pissed when he finds out that Jamie found out about her.
In the movie, Jamie saw her right when she got brought into the compound, so there was no, like, keeping it a secret from him. And then Jamie visits her through a hole in the ceiling for the first time. But then Jared does come and is, like, upset.
Yep. Yeah. I pictured him like that when the book.
Yeah, exactly. I did, too.
Okay. So then
she didn't. Oh, I guess the other thing is this is not when she gets to go out and about yet.
No,
she doesn't get a tour just yet. It's coming up in the movie.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Why are we? That the fight broke out. Okay. So Jared is now on watch of Wander, and Ian came and shared that the Seekers were looking for her. And Jared flipped out. He said, "You're going to tell me everything you know, because clearly you're bad news."
That's so insane. This doesn't happen in the movie. In the movie, after the Ian and Kyle come to kill Wanderer, they are on the mountainside looking at the Seekers looking for her.
Right. I was waiting for it, because I was like, oh, yeah, this is where, you know, they freak out, but they didn't. They were just like, okay.
They're just like, oh, the others must have dropped it, except for that one. That one's still, like, looking for us.
Right. All right. Well, she let him know about the Seeker and that this one was different. Kind of obsessed with her for some reason. And Jared plans on leaving to figure out what's going on with the Seeker. And Melanie and Wander are sad because they're like, oh, Jared, we miss you already.
Yeah, this doesn't happen. And also, the movie doesn't show anything about, like, Melanie and Wanderer's attachments to any of the characters.
Nope, not at all.
Mm-mm.
So they, like, advertise it as a love story, and then they don't show any of the love attraction.
Exactly, yeah. Like, there's kisses, but then, like, they get stopped because one of them doesn't want her kissing either of them. So,
right.
Yeah. So no wonder this movie flopped.
Yeah.
Or did not do as well as it could have.
Yep. So Jeb took Wander around and gave her a tour, because I guess this was the real tour. The tour before was just kind of like
showing her where the bathroom was and where her hole was.
And so then Jeb left Jamie in charge to watch Wander, which freaked Melanie out because he gave him a gun. And they chatted a bit and they got to know each other, and Jeb asked, "Hey, can I call you Wanda?"
And that does happen in the movie. Yeah. Except for Jared is not gone because he's looking or trying to figure out what's going on with the Seeker. His group has now gone to, like, do one of their regular raids where they go and get food and stuff, and they went in the middle of the day.
Yep.
And then there's a whole car chase thing that happens with Seekers in broad daylight, and people die.
Yep.
Brian and Aaron.
Yeah. Doesn't happen in the book.
Who is Brian and Aaron? I don't even know.
I don't know. Some people.
My favorite is that we figured out, we were like, okay, so this is supposed to be Wes from the book.
And
then later on, Wes actually happened. I was like, okay, what?
Yep. So Wanda told Jamie and Jeb that she used to be a teacher. And they were like, oh my gosh, can you teach us, like, here? And she's like, no one's going to find that interesting. Can you hear
me? Which is sad, because that was one of my favorite chapters when she finally was teaching.
I know, mine too.
Yeah.
But Ian also started hanging out a lot more.
So they don't ask her to be a teacher in the movie, because that never gets brought up. Honestly, they never, like, in the beginning, they do say, oh, she's been to 7 planets, but they never make mention of how amazing and cool that is.
Right, at all.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's an accomplishment, because she said, like,
hosts usually go to like one or two.
Mm-hmm. And then they decide to be mothers, and that's essentially them dying because
they split souls.
To make a child for a soul, they have to split themselves into the child, which is a painful thing, and then the child gets all the painful memories.
Yeah.
How lovely.
So, Wanda and Jamie are talking, and finally it came out that Melanie is still alive inside of her, and Jamie's like, what? And Jeb takes her the next day, and they go to work in the compound, and she gets a bath.
Yeah, the bath happens, but I don't quite think people are talking about how Melanie is still alive and Wanda. That comes a little bit later in the movie.
Mm-hmm. Jeb really wanted her to start teaching classes, and she still said no. So one day, the doctor comes out, Doc comes out, and is like, so tell me about the soul's medical information. And she says as much as she can, and people start listening. And then she's like, oh my gosh, they tricked me.
I would have loved to have seen that. Like, that was a good scene. Yeah, that did not happen.
Nope. So Jared and everybody got back from their seeker looking around, and they walked into one of Wanda's stories. And because it was she was a routine storyteller now, like at dinner time and stuff, they were pissed and they wanted her dead again. And they're having a meeting to try and convince Jeb to let her do it, let him do it. But Jeb's like, nope, she's as much Jamie's body as she is yours now, Jared.
Now, in the movie, at some point, Jamie has figured out, he's like, Jeb thinks that Melanie is still alive in you. And then at dinner, they're just asking her about the places she's been, but she ends up only talking about freaking Earth, which is so stupid. I'm like, you're talking to people who are from Earth. They know.
Right?
But then Jared does come in, all upset, but then Jamie stands up and is like, you can't kill her because Melanie's still alive in there.
Yep. That's how that happened.
Nope.
So Wanda ran and hid in like their storage area because, you know, Jared wants her dead. And Jamie comes to hang out with her, and then Jared comes and tries to beat her up, and Jamie saves her.
Yeah, that doesn't happen. But another thing that I totally spaced on talking about is how now that Ian was also showing her around the compound little thing, they were like, oh, she has nowhere to stay. And then in the movie, Ian's like, you could just sleep in my room.
Yep. Like his hatred towards her like evaporated very quickly. Yeah, in the book, it was a very gradual, like, he starts hanging out with them, and then he's, like, just listening to her stories, and, but it had been, I mean, I guess it's harder to show weeks
in a movie.
But
there was a part where me and Allie, we were watching, and, like, something happened, and then Wanderer said, it's been 3 days, and we're like, it's been like 2 seconds, and there was no way to show that there was 3 days passing.
It was horribly done, because it really was like, it all seemed like one day, like an afternoon. Mm-hmm. And then she says it's been 3 days, and I'm like, what?
Yeah, like there was no change. I mean, of course, it's during a time when she is grieving in the storyline. Uh-huh. So, of course, she's not going to change her clothes, but, I mean, change something. Make her hair look, you know, not exactly the same. Because if you sit there as a female for 3 days, your hair is going to start to look gross.
Yes, exactly. So, Wanda and Ian are hanging out a lot more, and Ian is all about protecting her now. He hides her, and when they see Jared coming, and someone is talking... Jared is talking to someone. I think it was Kyle. Was he talking to Kyle? About how the doctor's figuring it out, but it's not really working. And
yeah, it was Kyle.
Okay. And Wanda's like, I don't know what that means, but okay. And the days go on, and Jared shows up and tells Ian he just wants to talk to Wanda. He's not going to hurt her. He just want to talk to her.
That does not happen.
Nope. Jared and Wanda chat for a little bit, and they try to be civil.
And Wanda started having feelings for him, which pissed off Melanie. Because as a soul, they get feelings from their host, memories. And so Jared tried to kiss her, but Wanda slash Melanie punches him or slaps him or something like that. And he's shocked and he's like, oh my gosh, Melanie, you are still in there, because that's what Melanie did when he first tried to kiss her.
That's hilarious. I never put that together.
That's serious?
For real. I just thought it was like, he knew that Melanie wouldn't want him kissing the soul.
I thought it was purely because...
No, I bet you're right, because that's the whole reason why that memory would have been told in the book.
Yeah.
Is to draw that parallel, but I never got that. The first time I read this, you know, that's what our podcast does. The first time I read this, I was like, how the hell does he know just from that? Well, and then the next time I was like, okay, it's because of this. Now I'm like, oh shit. In the movie, this does happen, but it's literally right after Jamie tells him that Melanie's still in there, and Melanie or Wanda goes to her room, which is Ian's room. And Jared runs in there and it's like, they think that Melanie's still in there and I don't know. And then he just starts kissing her.
And then she punches him or hits him or whatever. Yep. So Wanda was teaching again, and Kyle still hated Wanda, so Ian's brother. And Doc really wanted to know stories about healing, but she didn't had never been interested in healing, so she didn't have a lot, so because she didn't pay attention. And some people were bummed, and it turns out they want to know so bad. Because Walter is dying of cancer, one of their little friends. And Ian and Jamie and Wanda all went to see them. And he thought Wanda was Gladys, which was his wife.
Oh, that's so sad. This is not... Kyle does still hate Wanda, but that's the only thing that happened in what Allie just said.
Yes. So Wanda stayed with Walter for a long time. His health was declining, but she was kind of like the drug he needed, because it seemed to put him in his, like, a calmer mood, and his health was doing better when she was there. And then all of a sudden there's a helicopter outside and they have to lay low for a couple days because it's the Seeker, or it's a Seeker. Eventually, after the Seeker leaves, Jared comes in with some morphine. And he said there's enough to keep him steady for a couple days, or... And Melanie told Wanda what that meant, and Wanda freaked out because she loved, like, she, Walter was her friend. And Doc's like, Wanda, go take a break. We won't do anything till you come back and you can say goodbye.
Yeah, that, I mean, the Seeker in the helicopter does happen, but that's just so we can see that they close the mirrors. But...
There's no
other than Walter. That does not happen in the movie. Yeah,
no Walter. So yeah. Kyle attacked Wanda when she left, and Wanda's like fighting back, and eventually the rocks collapse beneath them, and he's about to die, and Wanda saves him.
This does happen in the movie. This happens after Jared kissed Wanda, and I also pictured in when I was reading. This scene in the book, the like bathing room is supposed to be pitch black, but in the movie it's definitely not pitch black.
Nope, it is not. So Ian came to help Wanda save Kyle, and he's pissed off when he found out that Kyle was the one who did all this. And they get to the doctor and everything, and
the one difference here too is Kyle gets knocked out.
Well, Wanda was able to say goodbye to Walter, and there's a funeral for him, and they ended up giving her some morphine because she got hurt during the kerfuffle. And so she kind of was like super groggy and didn't know where the in and out was. So that's how they got her outside to be able to say, to be able to go to the funeral.
That didn't happen.
Nope.
Sad.
Now there's a trial for Kyle. So Wanda tried to do everything she could to make sure he stayed, and in the end it was fine, he stayed. And Jeb let everyone know, though, if anyone touches Wanda, they're gonna find themselves 6 feet under.
That did not happen in the movie.
Nope. Jared had collected a soccer ball at some point on one of his raids, and they all got to play soccer and they had such a fun time. Kyle comes up and lets Wanda know, hey, I'm not sorry for what I did, but you saved my life, so I won't try and kill you again.
Nope, does not happen.
Nope.
I wish. This was a fun scene, too.
I agree. So Ian was bringing Wanda back to his room and Jared was following, and they got in this little love triangle tiff sort of thing, but it's like Bree said, not really at the same time.
Jared's like, this is my girlfriend's body, and Ian's like, yeah, but the soul's my girlfriend.
So they spilled, or Jared spilled, that he tried to kiss Wanda, and Ian's pissed, and it's like this weird awkward moment.
I actually love these awkward moments with Ian and Jared and Melanie and Wanda, because Wanda just has no idea. Wanda's only experience in like a relationship is her memories of Jared, so then she doesn't get that Ian's starting to crush on her, and so she's like, right, why is he upset? This is so dumb.
So Wanda and Ian got to talking, and he's just trying to figure all these things out. He wondered if she liked him or she liked Jared, and he agreed how weird this is, and he kissed her, and Melanie got pissed, and Jamie comes in and tells Wanda that Jared said Jamie and her get to bunk together, and Ian's like, well played, Jared, well played.
That does not happen in the movie. In the movie, she just sleeps in Ian's room.
Yep. Jamie. Well played, Ian. Right? Jamie went out to do a raid with Jared, and Wanda played soccer to distract herself because she's worried about her little brother. And eventually the raid came back and Jamie was hurt. He said he tripped carrying a knife, but there was something he was lying about. Wanda and Melanie could just tell. And so Wanda went after Ian to figure out what was going on.
Well, Jamie gets hurt in the little compound when they're, what is it called? Shucking wheat or whatever? I don't know. He was cutting wheat, cut his leg. This is how he gets hurt.
Like at the beginning of the movie.
Yeah, at the very beginning. Which also, like, if it happened that far, you know, at the start of the movie, how come it at the end was all infected and gross?
Exactly.
Like, it would have already healed itself or something. And then the soccer thing doesn't happen, but Jamie is lying about something because the raid came back and she can't figure out why he's lying. And so Melanie and Wanda are like, let's go figure it out.
So Wanda went and searched for what the commotion was. And it turns out that in the hospital, they've been bringing back host bodies and trying to get the souls out. And it's a complete bloodbath. And Wanda flipped out and even yelled at Melanie to get out of her head. And Jared was trying to calm her down, but she was not having it. And eventually she went off by herself.
So this happens, but the thing that's different is, like, before they even get into the room, Melanie immediately knows what's going on. And I just want to know how she knows, because I'm like, if you're hearing what's going on, that's what's telling you what's going on. Wanda also knows. Right. So then why isn't she already freaking out? And then also, when she got into the room, it did not look as much of a bloodbath as I assumed it was going to be.
There was like little, like what did it look like? You know, when you like have a metallic pen?
Yes.
Like it looked like a couple like splats of metallic pen on the table.
I literally imagined silver like all over the walls.
Yes.
No, not just the, well, I also realized this watch through of the movie, which is funny because I've watched this movie quite a few times, but this watch through, I realized in that scene that it's not even their blood that's silvery, it's the souls. Like, right, there was also red blood around it. And I was like, okay, I get the red blood because of the host, but like, there's supposed to be silver from them too, because you killed them not knowing. Plus, that whole soul looked like it came out of the body already.
Right.
The whole problem is you can't figure out how to get the souls out of the body.
Exactly.
So.
Well, Jeb and Ian all had talks with Wanda, and Jeb was able to calm her down. He promised they wouldn't do any like extractions while she was there anymore, but they are going to keep fighting. So they're going to figure it out. Then it was mentioned that Jamie has an infection. They have no medicine to help him, and she asks Anne to kiss her because Melanie hasn't been back in 3 days or however long it was in the book. That was our movie 3 day.
Mm-hmm. That was.
So kissing didn't work, bring Melanie back. And Ian's like, hang on, I know what will. And she went and got Jared. And they kissed. And eventually that brought Melanie back.
Yep, and that happens in the movie.
Yep. Jamie was super sick. And Wanda came up with the idea to get the soul's medicine. And no one agreed. They were like, no, we don't know what your guys' medicine does on people. And that night, though, Jared came and snuck her out because he's like, okay, yeah, let's do it.
Well, Jamie is super sick. And Wanda does come up with that idea. But she gets to Jared first and says, we gotta go. And he's like, okay. So then they go
during the day.
Yeah, broad daylight again.
Yep. So they went to the hospital. Once they got there, she cut her arm super bad so that she had the same injury that Jamie did. And Jared also had to hit her in the face to cover up a scar because souls wouldn't have scars because they'd get immediate healing. Mm-hmm. And so she went in and lied her way through everything and then stole all the medicine.
The main difference here is that Jared doesn't hit her in the face with a rock to cover up the scar. She takes the knife that she cuts her arm with and recuts her scar.
Yep.
And it's basically Melanie also telling her that she needs to, which is funny because how would Melanie know to do that?
Right.
It was Wanda in the book being like, okay, they'll know something's up if this is here.
Yep. So she gets back to camp and everyone's pissed and they try to stop her using the medicine. But finally, she's like, look at my face. It's healed. And they're like, whoa, it is. And Doc lets her do it. And it worked.
In the movie, no one is upset that she brought back the meds. They all want to see it work. And so they're like, yeah, do it. And also in the book, there was like 7 different steps that they had to do to like make sure it worked right. Because they had to like recut open the wound to make sure all the infection came out or whatever.
Oh, yeah, yeah. They had to squeeze all the pus out and everything.
Yeah. In the movie, it was just, okay, spray this and good to go.
Yep. Why not?
Mm-hmm.
Magic. So the medicine worked on Jamie and everyone is awestruck and they have this feast of a celebration and they're all kind of huddled in like this sleeping pile. And while they're there, they talk about what a great raider Wanda is because she just walks in and takes stuff. And Ian's really nervous though because he doesn't like her the idea of her going on raids. But Jeb's like, nope, she's good at it. She's doing it.
Oh, one thing I wanted to say about a lot of me interjecting has not even been me reading my notes. It's just been me remembering everything. But I have a note here. That reminded me when Wanda was in the hospital to get the medicine for Jamie in the book. It was very much Melanie was like, I don't like this. I don't know what we should be doing. And Melanie was like, this is easy because this stuff I don't have to lie about. Like, I just have to be honest with them or as honest as I can be and they'll trust me. Whereas in the movie, they played very tense music and made Melanie help Wanda come up with lies and figure out how to do what she was trying to do.
Mm-hmm.
And then the whole raid thing, Ian's never really nervous about it because they do the next scene after Jamie's healed is them taking Wanda to the store to get all their supplies.
Mm-hmm. So it turns out that the Seeker, wait, hold on. Nope, I skipped a part. Jared, Wanda, and Kyle all went on a raid together, and it was good. They got lots of stuff, but then when they're finally on their way back, they get pulled over for speeding because, you know, hosts or souls always follow the speeding limits and everything. And Wanda switched places with Jared really fast, and they made up another lie, and they got out of it because souls don't lie.
Mm-hmm. And this does not happen because what happens is when they're on the raid in the movie, they find the Seeker that's looking for her.
Yep. But that kind of sort of happens, but in a different way. So when they come back, they find out the Seeker was caught and she's a human and let me start that again. So it turns out that they caught the Seeker and all the humans are ready to shoot her, but they waited for Wanda so that she could have last say or talk to her or whatever.
Well, I think the reason they did it in the movie, because I was like, what? They just have her like that? Like, the main bad guy is just, like, done. Like, yeah. There's nothing happening. So I guess it makes sense. But also, she's a lot more of a punk and a pill in the movie anyways than she is the book. So
yeah, because they had to add drama for the movie.
Yep.
She spoke to her, Wanda spoke to her, and she's like, I want to save her life, but I don't, because life will be easier if she's gone. Like, what am I supposed to do? And then she came up with a plan.
Yeah, so I mean, that doesn't hold, like, she does talk to the Seeker and stuff once the Seeker's in their caves, but then, like, her and Melanie don't have the talks to be like, do I save her, do I not, like they do in the book.
Mm-hmm.
But she does come up with a plan.
Yep. So Wanda knows how to get the souls out of the host bodies, we find out, and she made Doc promise to not kill them, but just send them off to another planet. She'll show him how. And he also has to promise to take her out and bury her next to Walter, because Melanie deserves her body back and she doesn't want to go on any other planet besides this one.
Which I think is actually really sweet. Yeah. It's like, oh, you found your spot.
Mm-hmm.
And she does end up doing that with Doc.
Okay. Jared and Wanda went off to get the tanks to store the souls in until they're able to send them off to a different planet. And he asks her, how does she know how to do this? And she shares this long story about how she did it on the bear planet she was on. And taking the Seeker's soul out worked. The host was almost as bad as the Seeker, though. She was super obnoxious and whiny. And they dropped the soul back off at the loading dock so it would go off to a different planet.
Jared and Wanda don't go get the tanks that store souls, because she took some while she was at the hospital.
Uh-huh.
And she does not share the story about the bear planet. And the Seeker's host was totally normal and chill. And yeah, also, like, woke up immediately after she got the soul taken out.
Yeah, and she's like, thank you, thank you. And it's like, wait.
yeah. She's supposed to be like, first off, it's supposed to take her hours before she wakes up. And then when she does wake up, she's a bitch. But then they go and ship the soul off.
Yep.
And they ship the soul off. They don't take it to a loading dock.
Right. Weird.
Mm-hmm.
So then the Seeker's host body is named Lacey, and she's now part of their compound. And Kyle has run off because his girlfriend had been changed into a host years ago. And so they were like trying to decide, oh my gosh, do we leave here? Because if he gets captured, then everybody's going to know where we are. But they were still contemplating when they began raiding bodies to save them. And they found a healer. So they're like, oh my gosh, hopefully she can help Doc and they'll be able to remove more souls.
This does not happen in the movie. Basically, what happens in the movie is they remove the Seekers, and then Wanda is like, okay, it's my turn. And then she just goes.
Yep. So I guess I'll just keep going.
Yeah.
Okay. So none of this is about to happen. One of the host bodies didn't make it. The healer body didn't know who she was, and she begins freaking out. Wanda went to look for help because she's like, okay, someone needs to help this lady. We need to calm her down. And she couldn't find anybody. Eventually, she found everyone outside because Kyle was back, and he brought Jody, which was his girlfriend. Sunny is the sweet little soul that's inside of her. But she doesn't want to leave Earth either. And Kyle is super sweet to her, though. And is like, they're trying to figure out the perfect place to send her. And Wanda lets slip, you know what? Maybe we can be extracted on the same day. And of course, Ian hears this. Ian and Wanda have a very long talk. And she's like, I gotta go. And they said, I love you to each other. And they kiss. And he begged her not to go. And
I guess this does happen right before she.
This part does. You're right. Yeah. You're right.
Storms up after and is like, you cannot leave me.
Yes. But what doesn't happen is he orders a trial to see if she can stay, because they all vote on things. And the trial was awful, because it was Ian saying Wanda should stay, and then it was Jared being like, well, Melanie should have her body back, and it was like Jeb was like, what's best for the compound, and it was just this, it was a nightmare.
Mm-hmm.
So they had extracted Sunny out of Jody, and Jody is not waking up. Kyle's there, he's holding Sunny's soul, and they're chatting, and him and Ian are kind of goofing off and making it normal again. And that night goes on, and she's waiting for Ian to fall asleep, and then she sneaks off. And Jared came and chatted with Wanda a bit, and she's like, can you just lie to me and say, no, I want you to stay? And he said it, but I didn't feel like he was lying.
No, I didn't either. Okay. I think he cared for her in a way, just not the way that she, obviously, in Melanie's body, wanted him to.
Right, right. So then she ran off, and Doc promised again that he would, like, bury her. And he said he would. And so then...
Like, if I'm being honest, I honestly think, like, not only was it Melanie, once Melanie wakes up, being like, okay, we need to get a body for Wanda, I have a feeling that, like, Jared and Ian and everyone was already kind of formulating this plan.
I think so, too. I think they all were going to double cross her.
Oh, for sure. They're like, this is what you want? Screw you.
We won't tell you, but we're going to do it.
Mm-hmm.
So then all of a sudden we get memories of this random girl, and she recognizes some things. And then there's this kid she recognizes. It looks like Jamie, but how does she know who that is? And then she's captured and she wakes up, and she doesn't have super clear memories, but then she sees Doc and it all comes rushing back, and she's mad because he broke her promise. And he explains that they brought this body, this host, and they extracted the soul, and they sent the soul off, and they were waiting and waiting, and this body was about to die just like Jody's was. And so they put her soul in it and saved the body, which they did with Sunny and Jody also.
Yeah, I kind of wish the Jody thing happened, because I liked seeing Kyle's change.
Yeah. Like,
he was still a jerk, but now that he realized his love could potentially be there still, he wanted that. But then he also then learned, well, this soul that's in her body isn't that bad either.
Right, exactly. So then we get an epilogue, which we didn't really, did we? Not really. In the movie. So we get an epilogue in the book. In
the movie, we do. It's just really screwed up.
Okay. Remember? I don't. So I'll do mine and you do yours. Yeah. Wanda is getting used to her new body and is much smaller and weaker. I do remember. Just kidding. It is much smaller and weaker than Melanie's. Ian hasn't been flirting with her anymore, so she's nervous and sad. But it turns out he's been waiting for her and she's been waiting for him, vice versa. And it's like, oh my gosh, that's so silly. We love you. We love each other. And she still does have feelings for Jared because she still has those memories. But it's okay. She loves Ian. And so many people have been saved that they're running out of room in their little compound. They go on another raid and with Ian, Melanie, Jared, and Wanda. On this raid, they run into a group of humans.
No, it's on the way back.
On the way back.
They're parking the car, and then someone comes up behind them.
Oh, okay. And they, like, are trying to be all sneaky and sly, right? Because they think they're seekers at first, and then they realize, oh, they're humans. And they keep Wanda hidden until they explain, hey, okay, we got a soul. Don't shoot him. And they're like, he's like, they have one too. And then they talk and they're like,
mm-hmm.
What did they say? Like, oh, you became native too.
Mm-hmm. In the movie, they get pulled over by what they think are seekers because Ford chrome cars come up and pull them over. And a host comes up to them and is talking to them. And it's like, ah, you're human. You're human too. You're human. You're not. Are you a prisoner?
Right.
And Ian's like, yes, she is. And she's like, no, I'm not. I'm with them. And then they're like, hey, we've also got humans and souls.
What? Yep.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the end.
Yeah.
Cool. I actually did that rather quickly, I believe.
Yeah, we did. But like I said, it's because a lot of the details from the book just aren't in the movie.
Right.
Okay, let's do some cast. We have 57 people who are cast for this movie.
And that's actually kind of insane. I feel like it should be less, but...
I know. Yeah, probably. Who knows? Mm-hmm. It was a lot of random, like, random secrets. And, yeah. But we have Saoirse Ronan, played Melanie and Wanda.
I love her.
Yeah, I think she's good. Really good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. She's sweet.
Yep. Diane Kruger played the Seeker and Lacey.
I think she did good, too.
Yep. I like her. She's my national treasure girl.
She's I don't think she's married to, but she's the partner of Norman Reedus from The Walking Dead.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so I like her because he plays Daryl in The Walking Dead, and that's my favorite character.
Oh, yeah. I hear mm-hmm. he's a lot of people's favorite.
Mm-hmm. Well, I also, I met him at Comic-Con.
Oh, yeah.
I was excited because I dressed up like him. And then I can't remember if I realized like day of before I met him or after I met him, but he plays Judas in Lady Gaga's music video for Judas. And I was like, hold on.
That's so funny. So Chandler Canterbury played Jamie.
He's sweet.
He's cute. After mm-hmm. rewatching it, I was like, okay, yeah, he's fine. But while reading the book, I kept picturing the kid from the last song.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I can see that.
Yeah, but no, he did fine. I liked him.
Yeah.
Max Irons plays Jared.
How can you go wrong with Scar's son?
He did fine. I was picturing four, though. I forgot who everybody was. So I was I'll picture you and you and you.
Four would have been good. For you? Mm-hmm. Yeah.
William Hurt played Jeb.
Oh, I think he did so good.
I think so, too. I really liked him.
Mm-hmm.
Boyd Holbrook played Kyle.
He plays such a good jerk. And like, he's been in so many other things. And sometimes he plays a good character, but because of how he portrayed Kyle, I'm always like, I don't like you.
That's a make of a good actor right there.
Yeah, exactly.
Jake Abel played Ian.
Aww. I do love him in this role so much.
I think so. He did really good.
Mm-hmm. And it's such a flip from Luke to this.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Scott Lawrence played Doc.
Y'all, we were looking him up while we were watching this. And Allie's like, wow, he's been in a lot of Star Wars video games. And I was like, well, I play a lot of Star Wars video games. Who was he? And she was like, he's Darth Vader. And I was like, that's insane. Because... Darth Vader always sounds like freaking James Earl Jones. That can be no way. And literally, like, right after I said that, he had a line, and it was long enough for me to, like, listen and hear his voice, and I was like, oh, holy shit, you do sound like Darth Vader.
Yeah, he's been like seven of them, and he's Darth Vader in all of them.
I would hope. But yeah, I loved it.
It was good. So, is the theme of the book and movie the same?
Yeah. For the most part, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Do the characters stay true to in the movie how they are written in the book?
Some of them.
Mm-hmm.
Because, like, Melanie and Wanda, because the whole Melanie being able to control her body, that's not so. Yeah. But Jared pretty much... I guess we could say Ian. The problem with Ian is the quickness of his turnabout, but.
Okay.
So I guess really, oh, and the Seeker. The Seeker is a little bit more.
Was not, yeah.
Yeah. But other than that.
Yeah, I think so.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Which do you prefer?
I prefer the book.
Yeah. I figured you would.
Yeah. I like everything that they cut out of it. I like the, like, stories that she has to tell about the other planets. I also think it's really hard to show in a movie all the different nuances with Melanie and Wanda being in the same like body and thought process, because a lot of their character development happened in their thoughts with each other, and you can't just have them sitting there constantly thinking in the movie.
Right. I mean, that makes sense. Yeah. So this to me ended up coming down to a which would I rather do again thing. Yeah. So I'd rather pick a 2-hour movie as opposed to a 23-hour book.
Now, so I chose movie. But I agree with you with all of the things that they cut out, like the soccer I really liked, and like Jamie and her relationship and all this. And so it's like, I really truly believe this could have been like a 12-hour book. She put so much detail. If she had kept all the storylines and, you know, enough detail that it paints the picture and everything, but took out all the extra, I think I would have chosen book. But yeah, it's like 23 hours, one, is daunting, but two, it's like I can do 23 hours when it's one of the last Harry Potter or one of the last Twilights, right? Like, if I'm already invested in these characters, I'm excited to see what happens. And, you know, the longer the book, the better. But when it's a one-off book that I have no tie to any of these characters, I'm like, so it was hard for me because I do like all the stories in the book more. I just, the time commitment wasn't worth it to me.
Well, I will say, I think I've said this on the podcast, but I'll say it again since this more so relates to this. When I first read this, I don't even think all the Twilight movies were done being released. I was just like on a Stephenie Meyer kick because I was like, I love Twilight so much. I love those books. I'm excited that she has another book. And so I went into it, probably teenage Brie went into it wanting basically Twilight again or something similar, like alien Twilight.
Right.
The beginning parts where it's literally just all descriptions and all her figuring out how to work a human body and deal with human emotions and everything. I think I got like 4 or 5 chapters in and I gave up on the book. I was like, I'm not going to be able to finish this.
Yeah.
And then when they announced the movie, that's when I was like, ah, shit, I'm going to have to read the book. So then I gave it another try. And once Wanda got to Jeb, that's when everything changed for me. That's when I was like, oh, I like this. Like, once I got past all the boring description part and got to the meat of the story, that's when I was like, okay, I can handle this.
Yeah, I really started liking it. I think it was around the soccer game is when it started getting more interesting to me. But that's, you know, like, I think there's like 4 or 5 hours left of the book at that point. And so, but it's not that it was super unenjoyable. It's just my theory was that, oh, Twilight came out. Therefore, she's like, okay, it might be turned into a movie. I have to put as much detail in as possible, right? But no, it came out in May 2008 and Twilight came out in November 2008. So that's not even the reason it was so detailed, because Twilight wasn't that detailed, right? I mean, it had detail, but not like this, right?
No, it was very, like, part of why they probably changed so much in Twilight was because she barely put any descriptions.
Right. So interesting.
I think part of it is she was writing about, like, this was a more scientifically driven book, even if it's, like, not there.
Yeah.
So part of me is, like, she probably had to do a shit ton of research. And so she probably wanted to make that research worth it.
Yeah.
Yeah. So she's like, okay. But then I've also, maybe you need to read The Chemist, because I'm pretty sure she probably had to do a lot of research for that too. And I feel like she didn't put in as much description. Like, when I read The Chemist, I was hooked instantly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I know. Maybe one day. All right. So, well, would you recommend it to a friend?
Oh, I would. In recommending it to a friend, I always, like, when I told my aunt to read it, I prefaced it with, oh, wait, no, actually, my aunt read it after I couldn't read it. And she was like, Brie, you need to read it again. And oh. I was like, no, you're crazy. But when I do tell people, like, when I scheduled it and I was warning you, I was like, okay, just so you know, my first read through of this, I couldn't get through the first part.
Mm-hmm.
But then once you get through that part, that's when it gets good.
Yeah.
That's just what I describe.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if I would recommend it, but that's just me. Like, yeah. It's just not, like, aliens in themselves is not my huge cup of tea. But I mean, yeah. I know that people out there enjoy more sci-fi stuff than I do.
Mm-hmm.
All right, we got a sneak peek for y'all.
Yeah. First, you should check out our website. I updated it because our lovely friend Ash drew us this cute little, we're totally professional logo. And so we have now updated our shop with some cool items that feature that.
Because we are, we're totally professional.
Oh, yeah, but, we are.
Yeah. So, and Ash is the one who's been drawing all of our stuff.
Yeah.
So, awesome. Thanks for that.
Mm-hmm. And to find our website, it's offscript253.wixsite.com/offscript.
Yeah. That's only, I think we said this last time, it's only three words, couple numbers, mm-hmm. and a .com.
Yeah.
You got it.
You can do it.
And then you bookmark it, and you can check it every single day.
Yeah. Because we change it. Oh, shit. I forgot. I wanted to start this episode. I don't know if I told you. Did I tell you that Harry Potter officially today hit 100 plays?
What? No.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah. So... thanks, everyone. We have 100 awesome. Plays on our first ever episode.
That's awesome.
Allie's like, why that audio?
Why that one? But thank you. No, now I have to go back and listen to it and see how bad it is. So I keep in my head, you know, we're our own worst critics. I know I'm making it 10 times worse in my head than it really is.
Mm-hmm. But,
no, it's okay. Got 100 views. It can't be that bad. All
exactly.
right.
Exactly. But you should also then go and rate our episodes. Well, not yes, our episodes, please. But our podcast.
Yes. Yes. Subscribe to all of the socials out there.
Mm-hmm. YouTube, Facebook, Instagram.
Spotify and all that.
Mm-hmm.
And then give us a little review.
Yeah. We like to read those when we get them.
Can we read them on all platforms? Where's the best
one? We can't read them on Spotify, and that drives me crazy.
What?
We could. Yeah.
We can't read reviews on Spotify?
No, on Spotify, we can just see how many people have given us, like, how many stars. Right now, we have 10 people who have given us 5 stars, so thank you.
So where can they review us that we can read their stuff?
You can go on Facebook and leave a review on Facebook. You can go on Apple Podcasts and leave a review there.
Mm-hmm.
You can review us on, like, I was going to say on Google reviews, but I think the Google got rid of their podcast, so I don't know if you can.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay. But yeah, if you do it on our socials, guys, like, if, like, we make, so this week, when we post our host post with either the memes for the host or pictures involving this episode or, you know, the Friday preview post for the host or whatever, just comment on it and give mm-hmm. us a review and we'll read your review.
Exactly. Yes. Also, check our stories because when our preview posts get posted, I go in and I make polls and I ask if you all have read it or watched it too. And then the next day I make a new poll and ask what you preferred.
See? Mm-hmm. Interact with us, y'all. Interact.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you for the, like, 3 that constantly do.
Yeah.
Sierra is the MVP, who I know doesn't listen to our podcast as often as she could, but she is always interacting. And my favorite is, I know she doesn't read books. She'll go on to the polls and always votes that the movie was better. I'm like, God damn it.
She's skewing our polls. So on Wednesday, we have our final episode of season 3, which is Dr. Sleep.
What a good one.
That's a fun one. I like that one.
Yeah, I do. I love, honestly, Stephen King month is always fun.
Yeah, I agree. I'm excited for it to actually be in October this year.
Yeah, that's going to be so good. Especially this year, we actually got some really spooky ones.
Oh, okay. Stay mm-hmm. tuned, season 5.
I'm excited.
The list will come out. When will I update our website with that? Sometime in July, before the season starts. We'll see. Mm-hmm. And then on Monday, we have our season 4 recap, our final episode before break.
Well, our final episode for season 4, because we also have the season 3 recap that's coming out on Wednesday after that. But
yes. So we got 3 more episodes for you this season before July, where we have our break.
Mm-hmm.
All right, you guys, and with that, we'll say goodbye, and the host went
off script.
That was not very well timed. We did that not good.
No. I thought we were doing it at the same time, and then I realized you were kind of not there. I was like, wait.
Well, you were not there. Oh no, is our lag not gonna make this work very well?
That's hilarious. That might be. Let's try it one more time.
Okay, ready?
Yep.
And with that, the host went off script. Yeah, it's the lag. It's not gonna make it sound good this time.
We just tried twice for you guys.
We did. We really did. Just take what you get. All right. We'll see ya.
Bye.
Thanks for sticking with us.
We hope you enjoyed it.
If you did, we would greatly appreciate it if you gave us 5 beautiful stars, reviewed, and subscribed.
You can also follow us on Facebook at Offscript, on Instagram at OffscriptPodcast21, and on TikTok at Offscript_pod.
Shoutouts to Madam Ashen Creations for our adorable logo art.
And Adam Daniel for our incredible theme song.
And to Creative Cinephile Productions for producing our podcast.
See you next time.
Hi, I'm Serena.
And I'm Rachel.
We are the hosts of Book Tales.
If you like reading books,
drinking cocktails,
and Scottish accents,
then meet your new favourite podcast.
Come with us as we explore different themes from romanticy to horror and everything in between.
We pair each book with a bespoke cocktail and tell you everything you'll need to make one.
And each week, play our fun game tailored to each book.
Find Book Tales wherever you get your podcasts. So grab your book.
Grab your booze.
For Book Tales.